We at VA certainly appreciate the attention from the Inspector General and assistance with helping us to identify how to move forward with this issue. And we've been closely looking for several months now at our levels of staff and access to mental health services across the country. And what we found is that we did have a need for additional staff, that although veterans are getting excellent care when they're in care and getting good evidence-based care, and in many cases are getting in, you know, promptly and when they need to, there are some places where we felt like the access was not at our own aspirational levels. And so we've chosen to add staff across the country to begin to address that.
And give us a sense of the scope of this activity. In other words, are you concentrating mainly on post-traumatic stress disorder people, or is it the range of mental illness that people, because it's a large population, would have, and they happen to be veterans?
That's a great question. You know, the attention to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, over the past decade since 9/11 has been really important, I think, in increasing public awareness. But PTSD is not the only issue that we treat in our VA mental health clinics. So last year, for example, we provided mental health treatment to over 1.3 million veterans for a variety of mental health concerns. Out of that, it was about 476,000 were for PTSD. So the staff that we're providing across the country would be to increase access to whatever clinics might be in need of additional staff. And so some of that certainly will go to PTSD care. But we also want to make sure that we have good evidence-based care for depression, for other anxiety disorders, for relationship problems, insomnia, things like that.
Now, the VA itself has said that it anticipates a rising number of patients who need mental health care, and I suppose that's just because of the number of troops that exist. So it seems like you're being hit on one front by this Inspector General report saying that you need help tackling the cases that you do have, and you see this onslaught coming. So what sort of processes are you putting into place to manage both what the enormous caseload you have now and what you see coming in the future?
Well, we certainly do anticipate an increase. We've actually had an increase for every year since we started our comprehensive mental health strategic plan in 2005. And so we expect that number to go up for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons certainly is the increased need, and as people are coming home from deployments and transitioning out of the military, we certainly see an increased need. But also in part because some of the stigma around mental health issues has been reduced through public awareness and people being willing to come forward and tell their own stories, we think that people are more willing to come for treatment, and that's a good thing. And so although we're adding this additional 1,900 staff, 1,600 of whom will be direct mental health providers, that we're not going to stop there. We're continuing to assess staffing levels, to assess access using a number of metrics, and we're going to continue reviewing this. So in a few months, if it seems like we need more, then we'll ask for more.
We're speaking with Dr. Sonia Batten, the Deputy Chief Consultant for Specialty Mental Health at Veterans Affairs. And what is the mix of services? Because mental health trends and fads change over the years. We don't do so much psychoanalysis anymore. And then there was a period when everything seemed to be purely drugs. Now there's all kinds of combinations of those things, plus transcendental meditation and so forth. How do you know what the right mix of provisions is for the VA in particular?
So what we've been doing in VA over the past several years is really moving toward a model where we're providing evidence-based care. So we look to the research literature to tell us what the most effective treatments are for the conditions that we serve. And so, for example, if you were going in to see a doctor for high blood pressure, you would want your doctor to provide care based on the very best evidence. And so the good news is, and I appreciate the chance to be able to make this clear, that we do have effective treatments for many mental health conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder, like depression. And those are usually psychotherapies and what we call cognitive behavioral therapies. So where people come in and receive treatment either individually with a therapist or in a group, and although medication can be helpful for some symptoms and for some veterans, for things like PTSD, actually the treatment for which there's the most evidence is actually talk therapy.
And speaking of talking, you have a veterans crisis line, and you've received hundreds of thousands of calls, about 600,000. Is that correct?
That's right.
So clearly those are veterans who perhaps could have been helped earlier, but have reached a point where they consider it a crisis. So what sort of help can you give them when they call the crisis line? And then to prevent more people from calling the crisis line, what sort of particular treatment do you think that you need to do on a proactive basis?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you mentioning the crisis line because it's one of our most important resources. And so just so that everybody has it, it's 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. And then individuals just need to press 1 and they can get directly to our trained responders who talk to veterans and their family members every day. So those numbers are increasing. We think some of that is because, people are under a lot of stress. I mean, Americans in general are under a lot of stress these days. And so we think it's a good thing that they're reaching out, and we really try to get the word out about the crisis line so that veterans know that they can call it when they have sort of the first signs of reaching a challenge or a difficult life event.
What sort of things do they call about?
They call about all sorts of things. They call about relationship problems. They call about grief and loss issues. They call sometimes when they're feeling suicidal and they don't know what else to do. And we have trained responders who can either talk to people on the phone, or if veterans go to veteranscrisisline.net, they can actually chat anonymously live with somebody, and that really is helpful for people who want the anonymity and have somebody to reach out to immediately.
Now, as you hire 1,900 people, I was wondering, what's the job market like for people in mental health care? Are you finding that it's loose so that you can get the people you need pretty easily?
Yeah, there are lots of excellent mental health professionals around the country. Maybe if some of them are listening today, they can go on usajobs.gov and they can start to look for some of those positions. But there certainly are some areas, specifically some rural areas where it may be harder to recruit. So we're implementing specific things to actually help those jobs be more marketable. But we really think that there are plenty of mental health professionals around the country who want to serve their country, who want to do something that's important for our veterans and give back.
So what sort of, you just mentioned marketability, what sort of things are you doing to attract people? Because obviously you do have this big need for more mental health staff.
Yeah, and so we're working on making sure that we're getting the word out, that we're marketing the positions in multiple ways. We're looking at potential financial incentives to get people to enter the job market, looking at salary levels, et cetera. But we also have been able to expand the types of providers that we're hiring. And so recently we've been able to qualify licensed marriage and family therapists and licensed professional mental health counselors. So we really think that's going to open up a new untapped market of mental health professionals that we haven't previously really been able to hire.
I guess that almost makes the next question perhaps unnecessary, but I want to ask you briefly, when you take the long-term view about how VA is approaching mental health care, what has changed?
Yeah, I think a lot has changed, and we really appreciate the chance to be able to come on and sort of overcome some of the stereotypes or perceptions that people have from 20 or 30 years ago. I think, first of all, one of the things that I mentioned already is this move toward making sure that we're providing excellent care that is evidence-based and that we have effective treatments for things like PTSD and depression. We also have a lot more mental health services integrated into the primary care setting, because we know that people may be more likely to be willing to talk to a mental health professional who is right there in the primary care clinic rather than having to set up a separate appointment, go to a different floor of the hospital, et cetera. We also are providing more and more mental health services through telehealth, so that's by video and telephone, and we're also increasing our resources for online and mobile resources. I think actually I came on this program last year and talked about our PTSD Coach mobile smartphone app that's been downloaded over 54,000 times now, and veteran service members can download that app for free from iTunes or the Droid Marketplace, and it's not a substitute for treatment, but it's another resource or tool that somebody can have in their pocket 24 hours a day to help
get you through that stressful moment.
Yeah, exactly.